The Old Testament reading is from Zephaniah chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's son and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out the silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. The goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cries against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. When he had received the 5 talents, went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. One of the great American heroes was a woman named Harriet Tubman. I'm sure most of you know who she is. She was a runaway slave who made it from the South to the North. She had a lot of help along the way from people who are very sympathetic, but she made it all the way to the North, which was quite an accomplishment. Then she became a conductor on what was known as the Underground Railroad, method to smuggle slaves out of the South to the North. Now, she was not a large or imposing woman. She was very small and frail. But she made 19 trips back into the South and freed over 300 slaves herself. Now, there's some similarities between her and Christians. We too have escaped slavery, a slavery to sin. The Bible says the man who sins is a slave to it. Now, to take it a little bit of a cliche, you know, we've hitched a ride on the freedom train of Jesus. That's how we've escaped sin. It's because of what Christ did for us. But are there more similarities? For some, no. They're just content to be free. God loves me. That's all. I don't need anything else. They fail to reach back to help other people. Now, Harriet Tubman could have done the same thing. She could have said, I made it to the North. I'm done. I'm sure not going back to the South because the punishment would have been horrendous if they'd ever gotten a hold of her. But you know what would have happened if she had done the same? 300 would have remained slaves, and they would never know freedom and liberty. Now, is the effort worth it? Well, for Harriet Tubman, it was worth it. She used to take cleaning jobs on the side when she lived in the North, worked long enough to save money to make a trip back to the South. And for her, just to finish up her story, when the North passed what was known as the Slave Fugitive Act, which meant any slaves caught in the North had to be sent south again, back to their owners. Now she had not only smuggled them out of the South, but also out of the North and into Canada. Can you imagine being in the nice, hot southern weather and end up in the frozen wastelands of Canada? I'm going to pay for that one later. Now, St. Paul had the same mindset as she did. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might be saved. St. Paul was an amazing man. Everybody he came in contact with, he wanted them to know the message of Jesus Christ. I really think if they made a movie about Paul, he'd almost have to be moving fast, talking fast, just a fireball of energy, I guess is the term I'm looking for. All right, Paul writes this, which is a bit shocking. I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my fellow human beings. In other words, he'd give up his salvation if others could have it. And he meant those words. But what would prompt a man to actually offer that up? Well, Paul writes, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. What he's saying is when he shares the gospel, his own faith becomes strengthened. It's also become strengthened when he sees other people, non-believers, become believers, and he can see the power of God in them. You know, there's an old cliche, love isn't love until you give it away. In our gospel lesson, we have two servants. We call it the parable of the talents. To one he gives five, to one he gives two, and to one he just gives one. When he comes back, he says to the first two, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They've been faithful with a little bit, but, let's see, they've been faithful with a little bit, but they returned all the talents to the owner and were successful. Just to give you an idea how much money this was, one talent of silver would be probably close to a year's worth of wages. All right? No, 2 years' worth of wages. The two talents would have been worth about 4 to 5 years of income. So figure it out for the guy who got 10. Somewhere between 20 and 30 years of salary. Imagine if you were handed 20 or 30 years of your salary, or when you were working your last few years. Now, wouldn't there be a temptation just to put it in the bank or put it in the safe? Just leave it alone, don't touch it? Well, that's what the one guy did. He didn't even put it in the bank. He just dug a hole and put it down there and said it could just stay there. Now, the master said, "For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance." God wants us to have his gifts. Now, I want to make sure I don't sound like I'm falling into the trap of, all right, I give in order, give him my time and talents, all right, in order to get blessings from God. That's not the correct way. All right, we do it in response to. But God wants to bless us. It's kind of like your children. Didn't you enjoy giving them something that they really wanted? Well, that's kind of the way God looks at God's relationship with us is to a certain degree. So don't fall into the trap of, I do something for the Lord, and then he's going to do more for me in return. Now, God has promised to take care of us. Now, remember the old Doritos commercial. See, look, you can get wisdom out of a Doritos commercial. Crunch all you want, we'll make more. That's kind of the way it is with God's blessings. He wants to give us more. Now, the church was established to spread the message of love and forgiveness. And God gave us the resources to do it, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds about the Scripture and to strengthen our faith through the sacraments. Now, I'm going to use a football analogy, since it's football season and we won't talk about Michigan. We'll put them on your prayer list, please. But a football analogy. Some people look at church as sort of Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody's on display. Everything works just fine. It's perfect. But in reality, church is more like a practice field. We come to church to get our skills sharpened. And by skills, I mean our relationship and knowledge of the Lord. The rest of the week is the Super Bowl week when people look at us and say, "Why are you different than the rest of us? What peace do you have that I don't?" Now, how many of you seen the Disney movie Hercules? All right, good. You can make some similarities, some similarities between that story and what God has done for us. Now, in Hercules, for those of you who don't know, he's the son of Zeus, the chief god. Yeah. Okay. Now, in the story, Hades, you say Satan, devises a plan to take over everything. Only Hercules can stop him. And when Hercules is born, Hades tries to kill him. Think of the Bethlehem story. What did Herod do? When the Savior was born, he tried to kill the children. Now, where it comes apart from Christ's story, Hercules had to become a true hero to be able to return to Mount Olympus, heaven. But he trained growing up. That's how he spent his youth, was training. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature before men. In the movie Hercules, he defeats numerous enemies, saves many people, but he never gets to that status yet of true hero. Now, I'm moving the story ahead. Hades, or Satan, captures Meg. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but captures Meg. It's somebody that Hercules deeply loves. And Hades takes her down to Hades, known as hell, all right, there to keep her. Hercules comes and offers to take her place in hell so that she can be freed. When Meg asked him why he did it, he said, "People always do crazy things when they're in love." It's the same way with God and us. Not that it was a crazy thing he did, but an expression of deep love when he sent his son to the cross. He stopped Satan's plan at the cross. Satan had a plan to take over the world. There was only one person who could stop him, and that was Jesus Christ. And Jesus went into hell to proclaim his victory to Satan. I could only imagine the fear when Jesus shows up in hell and says, "I've won." I would like to see that. I'd like to see Mel Gibson do that in his next movie. Yeah, just a thought. Maybe I'll send him a letter, see if he'll do it for me. All right? Now, we've got a debt that we cannot possibly repay. Any of you ever seen that movie, Pay It Forward? No. Okay. Fly, go away. Must be Catholic. It's annoying me. All right, the movie Pay It Forward. A boy is challenged by his teacher to make a difference in the world. So the boy's got to find some way to change the world around him. So he decides to help three people that are in a real jam. And one of them is a drug addict. And all the little boy has is $40 on him, which he gives the addict to get clothes so that he can get a job and straighten out his life. As the story goes, the drug addict did clean up his life, got a job, and wanted to repay the boy the $40. But he says, "No, you now find somebody and help them out of a jam." The idea of pay it forward. Now, what can Christians do in response to what Christ has done for us? There's no repayment that we can offer him. All right, we can't offer him anything. But we sure can help others out of a jam, and that jam being sin. Sharing that message of love and forgiveness. Keep that away so the flies don't jump in it. When Jesus came to the earth, he laid aside all of his rights and all of his privileges. He lived just like us. And he calls us to do the same, to lay aside our privileges and so-called rights. What would you be willing to give up in your life for salvation? Or what wouldn't you want to give up? What wouldn't you want to give up? No, I don't need you to answer that, you know, out loud. But what is the most valuable, or another way of putting it is, what is the most valuable thing you have? Something more than family. Family's temporary. Pardon? Your life, you're on the right track. The most important thing we possess is eternal life. That is the most important possession we have because it's the only thing we take with us when we die. And if you, at least nobody answered their house, something like that, because I'd say, you know what? Really getting close to that idea of idolatry, because that's what the commandment about you shall have no other gods before me. Goodness gracious. See, now that's why I cut the kids some slack in confirmation, because every now and again my brain goes blank too. But we should have no other gods but him. Jesus, Paul, and even Harriet Tubman that I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon Always put the needs of others first. Do we give of our time and treasures to spread the gospel? You know, if the church was all about us and our salvation alone, why doesn't God just take us up to heaven right now? Why does he leave us on this earth for whatever number of years he does? Because he wants us to spread the message of forgiveness and his love to everyone. That's our job while he's gone. You got to get to know others for who they are, so they get to know you for who you are and for who God is. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.